Do you know what Albert Einstein, Anthony Hopkins, Elon Musk and Jerry Seinfeld all have in common? Well, aside from being majorly successful in their fields, they are all on the autism spectrum. Our guest for today, Associate Professor David Trembarth from the Menzies Health Institute at Griffith University, has done extensive research in the study of autism. In a recent study, he and his colleagues examined the research evidence on 111 autism early intervention approaches. Their results have organised the range of interventions out there into 9 categories. Categorising this way can work towards helping parents, clinicians and policymakers find a common language. And David joins us now. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Willie. Well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good. Like you, 2 days to go. Well, after today, we've got 2 days to go. Then we're on holidays.
Hang in there.
Now, David, why have you dedicated so much of your time to understanding autism and writing about it?
Yeah, Willie, autism is fascinating. You know, it basically means, you know, differences in the way people understand other people and the world around them. And it's particularly fascinating. We find that, you know, there's a spectrum when it comes to autism. So from people like you introduced who have some amazing capabilities and whatnot, but there's also a large group of people on the spectrum who have really quite significant needs and support needs in life. And so I guess my career is really focused to helping people find their own path, their own journey, etc., including, you know, providing supports where people need those and want those and value those.
What were the main difficulties you encountered while compiling this list and doing the research?
Yeah, look, the thing is there are so many different therapies and supports out there, and there's really no common language for how to talk about these, how to explain them, describe them, and then that makes it really difficult. So if you're a parent who's new to this journey, just making sense of that sort of maze of different therapies and supports can be really difficult. If you're a practitioner working in this space and you're trying to understand the research evidence for these, it can be really hard to compare different studies because they might be talking about different things. And then if you're a policymaker, you know, making sense of all of the different, you know, the different variety and so on can be really difficult. So that's probably the first main challenge, is how to talk about them. But then the second one is then how to synthesise all the evidence for them and explain that, to share that back with the community.
I can imagine it's been so well received. Is that fair to say?
I think that there's absolutely consensus that more needs to be done and we need to do this better. There's different views in terms of how these types of therapies and supports should be talked about, categorised, explained, etc. But certainly the report has been really well received from the broader community in terms of trying to take a really practical step towards making sense of the maze of options that are available.
Yeah, I mean, other than trying to help kind of, like you say, synthesise that information and make sense, what would be some of the other reasons you would say parents or loved ones of a person with autism should look into your research?
Yeah, it's so important that anybody who's accessing, you know, therapies or supports, that they're really well informed. So part of that is understanding all the different options that are available, but also the evidence for those, making sure what they're accessing is safe and effective and so on. So it's really important that they have all the information. But then the second part of that is they know their loved one best. So they'll be in the best position to think about that person's strengths, any needs that person has, their personality, their preferences, what they're into, what they like, what they're passionate about, and then bring those two things together. So having the information, but at all times also trusting their own knowledge of that person. They're the experts, you know, in their child and in their own lives.
David, where can people, parents or clinicians, find your report?
Yeah, so if they go to the Autism CRC website, they'll find the report there. And we've got the full report, which is hundreds and hundreds of pages, but we've also made sure that there's some shorter summaries of the information. So I'd suggest they go there and have a look at that. There's also an opportunity at the moment to register to be part of the development of a national practice guideline that will shape the way therapies and supports are provided for children and their families. So there's an opportunity there to sign up, get involved. We really want to hear from as many people as possible in the development of that practice. guideline.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, well, we will link all of that to the show notes when we post the story live. David, thank you so much for joining us, and well done on the report. And I mean, like I was just thinking, such vital research. And when you said before, you know the person best, and being able to partner that intimate knowledge of an individual with research like yours, I can imagine it's very powerful. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks so much, Willie.